It's raining. A lot. And it's expected to all day long, with a little lightning on the side. But I've got good rain gear, and I'm only slack-packing my way through Auckland, New Zealand's largest city. Slack-packing has that word slack in it, as in slacking off. That's just about right. I'm walking the Te Araroa Trail, but using far less energy because I left most of my things, my tent, my sleeping bag, stove, and fuel, with my hosts. I'll walk as far as I can over the next 3 days and then get to sleep in a bed at night, eating a proper meal sitting in a chair at a table. In fact, it's Thanksgiving, and I'll be celebrating in Kiwi style. There's a whole lot to be thankful for. My host's hospitality, for one, but also all the lucky, serendipitous accidents of fate that have happened in this first month of my first thru-hike. You're listening to the PRAG, Unfiltered Adventures of the Blissful Hiker. I'm Allison Young, the Blissful Hiker, sometime professional flutist, sometime voice artist, and full-time pedestrian. Like that small backpacking essential of the same name, the PRAG shares the unglamorous but vital truth about empowerment as badass people who really don't need permission to blaze our own trails in this journey we call life. Thanks so much to Leckie Trekking Poles for supporting the PRAG podcast. If you want to be a blissful hiker, Leckie should be in your hands. Also, Belega, makers of the best blister-resist, non-slouching, foot-massaging socks for the long haul. If you've been following the PRAG, you'll know I've been walking about a month already on New Zealand's long pathway, the Te Araroa. I took a pause to bring you along on two recent hikes in northern Minnesota and Michigan, Isle Royale and the Kekakabik Trail. You, of course, can listen to all the episodes at theprag.com. Come along right now on my walk through Auckland, where for two solid days it's been pouring rain. It's not cold as I enter Cornwall Park and duck into the acacia cottage built by an influential settler. For a moment, I feel like these people must have felt then, happy to have a solid roof over my head against the elements. And then it's definitely a full-on case of because it is there as I summit the volcanic cone of One Tree Hill, so named after a settler chopped down the one tree at the summit, one that was sacred to the local Maori. I'm in almost a complete whiteout, though not alone, as a few runners and old folks with walking sticks touch the top before heading right back down again. There are more cottages to visit in Jellicoe Park. One's a scavenger's dream in piles of junk, including 5 vintage vacuum cleaners, a collection of cocks, taps, and valves, and an organ with sheet music for Christmas in New Zealand, with no snow and no woolly hats. I'm told that the owner's wife warned her collector husband if he brought home any more, they'd need a bigger house. Through the tiny pocket park of Taumanu Reserve, I meet two Americans, also walking the trail in small bites, one of whom you'll meet much later in this story. I stop at what's called a fruit and veg, though at this point, all I want to eat is junk food. Two friends of friends, Paula and Mike, meet me to cross Manukau Bay on a pedestrian walkway under the highway, better known as Mugger's Alley. Because the beautiful old Mangere Bridge is sinking into the estuary, we chance our luck on this alternative, moving fast toward Ambury Park, a wide, grassy area dotted with sheep, oblivious to the inclement weather. Paula and Mike go only so far, and we part at the insect garden, filled with nettles poisonous to the touch. I continue towards the stinky sewage plant and reclaimed wetlands, surprisingly crowded with black swans and their goslings, swallows diving, and ducks new to me honking crankily. It's a migratory bird oasis, this combination black sand and oyster shell beach, thick with pale pink morning glories, the long grass pressed down in a field of comb-overs. And it's there that I run into Cool, the trail will provide Nathan. And we walk and talk together on a long road walk to the airport, where he'll spend the night sleeping on a bench. Remember Nathan telling me to trust that the trail will give me what I need? And it does, because as the sky goes black, I seek refuge at the Butterfly Creek Children's Party venue, just as an evil breeze presses in, lightning, an absolute full-on no-holds-barred downpour. But I'm totally safe with about 30 screaming children. One child takes a look at me and says, "What are you doing here?" And I laugh with her mother, who says, "Don't mind her." And when I tell her I'm hiking the entire length of the country, she's pretty shocked. The rain lets up and we say goodbye, and I'm back on a narrow shoulder of road right under the incoming flight path as cars whiz past me.
You guys gonna follow me?
At the Puanui Reserve, curious heifers follow me down the trail right before I enter my first public toilet in New Zealand.
Door closed. Please press button to lock.
A helpful recorded voice gives me 10 minutes alone, and if it's too hard to figure out the time, some jazzy Burt Bacharach counts down for me. It's office parks, scruffy neighborhoods, and finally the botanic gardens filled with totara and Norfolk pine, the rain slacking off. Susie and Sarah are there waiting for me in their car to take me back to their home in Mount Eden. On our drive, Susie tells me a tramper died today on the Tongariro Alpine Crossing. It's a part of the trail I'll come to in about another month. The contrast with slackpacking through Auckland, with plenty of places to escape the elements and my hosts just a phone call away, couldn't be more stark. As Susie speaks, I finger my hut pass in my wallet, the hut pass I purchased for backcountry stays as I move further south in New Zealand. On the front of the pass, there's a safety code with solid advice. Plan your trip, tell someone, be aware of the weather, know your limits, take sufficient supplies. The deceased wasn't a Te Araroa hiker. He didn't heed any of that advice and was totally unprepared when the weather turned ugly, splitting up from his group and getting lost. We return to the house and I take a hot shower, fill up on nutritious food, and drink a beer that Sarah picked up for me especially, knowing how much I crave one after walking. I feel terrible for that poor hiker and for his family, too. He made dumb decisions for sure, but we're all capable of making dumb decisions, and it's easy to judge clean and dry and safe right now. All I can do is take it as a reminder, as a kind of warning, to try not to make any of my own dumb decisions. As I enjoy the company of my lovely hosts, I make a pact with myself to stay alert, and then I graciously accept one more beer. You're listening to the P-Rag, Unfiltered Adventures of the Blissful Hiker. Through sharing my stories of walking long-distance trails as a solo middle-aged female hiker, my intention is to empower you to grab your life and hike your own hike. You can subscribe to the P-Rag wherever you get your podcasts, and I'd love it if you take the time to give me a review at Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find the P-Rag. Today, it's Auckland in glorious sunshine. I look more like a tourist than a backpacker as I join a free walking tour and learn of a statue made in the 1960s to honor the Maori, one made by a woman. All sorts of impossible awarenesses converging here. At Queen and Custom Streets, the signal stops all traffic, and people casually pour into the street, kind of like a slow-motion dance, choreographed for some in choppy straight lines, others striding diagonally. Krispy Kreme Donuts just opened a cafe in the Central Business District and celebrates with disco blaring and free donuts for everyone in a line snaking out onto the square. I love Auckland's walkability, and with a visa, I'm considered a temporary resident, so I can enter the art museum for free, housing works by Maori from Aotearoa and Moana. One piece stops me in my tracks. It's a mural made by a man named Ralph Hotere. It's called Godwit, named for the long-billed, long-legged wader who flies 7,000 miles nonstop on its annual migrations. It's the can-do and go-anywhere bird I saw often on my long beach walks. As I stand there, I try to absorb some of that bird's determination.
After we finally finished our second mound.
In a video, 100 women build sand mounds and celebrate creation. Regional artists seeing land as metaphor. Finally, it's a long hallway of extraordinary Maori portraits from the 1870s, made by a man named Gottfried Lindauer, not from life, but from photographs. The men have rangi pahuri, or full-face tattoos, that signify their mana, or influence. And some are in European dress, with handlebar mustaches. Although it's the women I find more powerful, with tattoos around their mouths, on their lips, and on their chins. Up the hill at the Winter Gardens, I encounter a fragrant and humid world under glass. Massive pitcher plants yawn obscenely, yet invitingly to unsuspecting passersby. In the shade, the temperature is mild on the verge of chilly, and I sip a green drink and rest my legs. I'm actually on the official Te Araroa right now, but my backpack is only carrying my phone charger. I head into another museum, the War Memorial, and I find an extraordinary exhibit of Maori artifacts, including a 25-meter-long war canoe made of one totara log. Large figures look on through abalone eyes, most with their tongues stuck out at me. And then it's a temporary exhibit called Hot Words, Bold Retorts, a celebration of 125 years of women's suffrage. New Zealand was the first country in the world to give women the right to vote, but the bargain did not include any kind of equality. Upstairs is natural history, giant wingless moa, giant ponderous heavy diving penguins, giant ammonite fossils, staggering the imagination. But it's time to skip the curiosities of the odd, dusty collections from around the world and head back into the sunshine, where the bay greets me, turquoise and glistening. Up Mount Eden, the wind dries my sweat, and it's crowded, everyone tippy-tapping on their phones. It's only a few blocks more, and I'm back at Susie and Mark's house, where they tell me to make myself at home. This Kiwi Thanksgiving potluck meal is not much different from home, though it's sliced turkey and ham rather than an entire bird, plus salad and potatoes, and to use a Kiwi word, heaps of desserts. Before we eat, we gather in the living room, standing in a circle, each taking a few kernels of corn to represent our blessings.
New friends. Family, of course. Did I mention family?
No. As we share our individual thoughts, the themes are similar. We're grateful for family, for friends, and for being buoyed by the Holy Spirit.
I thank our Creator every day for the wonder and majesty that He provides for us. And I'm grateful today, this Thanksgiving, I had a really, really low day, and out of the blue I got a phone call, and I've ended up being here with friends.
Then to top it off, one family friend named Mike offers up a Maori greeting especially for me as the newcomer.
E hui hui mai I tēnei pō, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Kia koe, Alison, mātou manuhiri mō te pō nei.
The talk show host Ellen DeGeneres said, when you take risks, you learn that there will be times when you succeed. and there will be times when you fail, and both are equally important.
I come to our guest, and Manuhiri, which is yourself, Alison, and what I referred to in that talk is in Māori te mui, we have a thing called waiwaitapu, literally translated means sacred feet. And so your feet is the first time on this land. Once your sacred feet have touched the land, then you become part of us and become part of our family. So as you come back, you're not a visitor anymore, you're family. So that's
it's
what,
funny
that's
writing and voicing this podcast right now as I cross the two-year anniversary of my first steps on the Te Araroa. It was Facebook reminding me of this fact, sending me memories of my thru-hike preparation. Things didn't quite work out when I came home after finishing the Te Araroa, and it would be easy to say I made a dumb decision to risk it all just to walk a bunch of roads in the rain and visit a few museums. As we go around the circle sharing our joys and sorrows, I realize I wouldn't have known any of this at the time. Nor would I know that I'd be where I am today, unable to walk and awaiting two surgeries to fix my deteriorating hips. But that's precisely why I went, to walk while I could, and to live fully with what I had available to me at the time. It's interesting that the Maori use the term sacred feet to explain a visitor transforming from a stranger to family. My decision to take my feet to a new place was based on wanting to experience it firsthand and to know it in as intimate a way as possible. I'm grateful for that decision to walk the length of an entire country. And I have to say, it was one of the best decisions of my life. Thanks so much to Lucky Trekking Poles for supporting the PRAG podcast. Also, Belega Socks. And thank you for listening. If you enjoy the storytelling, please consider subscribing and go ahead and write a review at Apple Podcasts. The music you're hearing is me playing my flute from so many years ago. You can find the music on iTunes. You can also find show notes and more about my hikes all over the world and all of the episodes of the PRAG at the website, theprag.com. Next week, the Te Araroa continues, taking me through lots of rain in the Waikato and King Country in the central region of the North Island. Until then, my friends, happy trails.